ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, verse 27 through chapter 13, verse 3. This morning we want to consider together the importance of love. Again, our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians. We're beginning in chapter 12 with verse 27. Let's hear God's word. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, by your love, teach us. Teach us about love. Teach us about your love, and teach us how to love. Show us how to love. Enable us to love. Help us to live in love and share your love and spread your love, even as we seek to know your love and glory in your love. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been talking about spiritual gifts and how everybody has different gifts. Okay? Maybe you're very high energy. You are go, 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 go all the time. You're very good at getting things done. Okay? Somebody can give you a list of responsibilities and know that you're going to take care of them because you're very good at checking things off the list. That's a gift. If you're very good at getting things done, you have a lot of energy, you're very dependable and reliable, that's a gift. Or maybe you're not particularly high energy, but maybe you're good at understanding complexity. Maybe there's a complicated situation that has other people stymied, but you're able to look at it and right away you can see through the complexity, you see what needs to be done and who needs to do it. Well, that's a gift. Maybe you have a great sense of humor. Maybe you are unusually patient. Maybe you're really good at using spreadsheets, or you're good with technology, or maybe you're really good with people, or you're really good on the phones. All those are gifts. Okay, every Christian has different gifts. Okay, every Christian has his or her own different mix or blend of gifts, and all those gifts are important, and all of them are necessary. All the different gifts in the church are, they're all important and they're all needed, they're all necessary. And yet, some gifts have priority. All the different gifts are important and all of them are needed and all of them are necessary, and yet some gifts do have priority in the church. Look with me at our text, beginning in chapter 12, verse 27, Paul says, "Now, you are the body of Christ." And he's talking here to the congregation. The word "you" there is plural. Okay, you guys. Okay? Or as we would say, or I would say, y'all. Okay? All y'all, all you guys, together, we are the body of Christ. And we saw this last week. In his body, Jesus died on the cross. In his physical body, Jesus suffered and he hung and he bled and he died in our place to pay the awful penalty for our sin. In his body, he was laid in a tomb, and then in his body, he rose again. Okay, for our salvation, for our deliverance. And in his body, he ascended to heaven. And in his body, he is now sitting on the throne. In heaven, in his body, Jesus is on the throne for us, representing you and me. He's not down here anymore in bodily form. Okay? Jesus Christ is in heaven, and now we are the physical or the visible representation of Christ. We are his eyes and his ears. We're his hands and his feet. Together, we're the body of Christ. We're the physical means by which Jesus takes the children up in his arms. We're the physical means by which Jesus helps and counsels and encourages and blesses. You know, we are the body of Jesus here on earth. And Paul says, individually, every Christian is a member of the body. In other words, just like your body has lots of different parts, well, he says, together we're the body of Jesus, and individually each Christian is like a different part of the body. So maybe you're like an eye, or maybe you're an ear, or maybe you're like the mouth or the hands. Okay? The eye can do some things the ear can't do. The ear can do some things the mouth can't do. The mouth can do some things the hands can't do. In the same way, you can do some things I can't do, and I can do some things he can't do, and he can do some things she can't do. Each of us has different gifts. And all those gifts are important. All the different gifts are needed. All the different gifts are necessary. But some gifts do have priority. Look at verse 28. God has appointed in the church first apostles. Well, you know who the apostles were. They were the original ambassadors of Christ that Jesus sent out to preach the gospel and to establish the New Testament church. The apostles were able to receive direct revelation from God, to preach God's word, to speak God's word, to write God's word. The apostles were given authority over the entire New Testament church and all the individual congregations. And so it makes sense that Paul says the apostles are first. Okay? Because there has to be some kind of order in the church. Okay? Every Christian is an important member of the body and has different gifts. All are important and all are necessary, yet there's still a priority among the gifts because there has to be some kind of order in the church. What we're going to see as we work through our book is that they were young Christians in Corinth. Many of them had some really unusual gifts. One had the ability to perform miracles. Some had the gifts of healing. They could heal people. Some were prophets and received messages directly from God. There was all sorts of supernatural gifts in the congregation, but had become somewhat chaotic. As we're going to see, sometimes one person might stand up and he'd say, "I have a message from God." And as he begins to speak, someone else would interrupt, "Well, I've got a message from God." And someone else, "Well, wait a minute, I've got a miracle to do." And someone, "Well, wait a minute, I'm going to do some healing." And it was disorderly. And so Paul is writing and he says, "Listen, apostles are first because somebody's got to be in charge here. There's got to be some kind of order in the church. And all these spiritual gifts need to be used according to God's word. They're all important. Everybody has a place. You'll get a chance to use your gifts. But the gifts need to be used according to God's word. Listen to what Paul says. God has appointed in the church, first, apostles. Second, prophets. Well, you know what a prophet was. A prophet received direct revelation from God. In that sense, a prophet's kind of like an apostle. Except the prophets were not given in a position of authority over all the different churches. Okay, when a prophet spoke, he had authority. He's speaking the word of God, but he didn't have an office or a position over all the different congregations. So you can understand why apostles would be first, and then the prophets. Paul says, third, teachers. A teacher would be somebody who teaches God's word. He explains it, he applies it, but he's not receiving direct revelation. Okay? He's not a prophet. He's just explaining what's already written down. Paul says, first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. You understand what Paul is doing? He's putting God's word first. He's just told us all the gifts are needed. They're all important. Nobody should feel unwanted. Nobody should feel insecure. But he's saying God's word has to come first, because God's word shapes and informs how we use our gifts. That's why there's an order here. God's word shapes and informs our gifts. Think about, he mentions miracles. What could be more important than miracles? A guy who can perform miracles. But if you put that first, if you put that above God's word, well, then the church becomes a sideshow. It becomes a carnival. It becomes entertainment. Or he mentions the gift of healing. What could be more important than being able to heal somebody? That's so important. But if you put that above God's word, well, then the church becomes just a hospital. And there's no gospel. You know, and so on. All the gifts he mentions are all so important. They're all necessary. But you don't want to put any of them before the Bible. Because gifts need to be used according to the word of God. God's word shapes and informs how we use our gifts. Paul says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no, of course not. Some were apostles and some were prophets and some were teachers and some worked miracles and some were healing and some were had gifts of helping. And everybody has different gifts and they're all needed. Okay, whatever gift, talent, ability you have, God has given that to you and it's needed, it's important, and it's necessary. But there is a priority within the church among gifts. Paul says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, some people really struggle with that. That verse throws them for a loop. Some people say that Paul wouldn't say that. Must be a misunderstanding, a typo, a misinterpretation. Because Paul has just been saying every gift is important. Remember, we saw last week that sometimes as a Christian, you don't feel very important. Maybe you feel like you don't have much to offer. Maybe you're not very healthy, or you just don't feel like you can do much anymore. And we saw last week that sometimes the person who feels unimportant or seems unimportant might be the most important person in the congregation. Okay? Paul's been saying that even the person who might seem the weakest might be the most essential. And so how can he now say some gifts are more important or are higher? Well, because he's talking about the priority of telling people about Jesus. Okay? Remember the situation. You have relatively young Christians, but they're experiencing all these unusual supernatural gifts. And apparently there was some jealousy going on. I can't do what he does. I can't do what she does. Well, I wish I could do what they do. And there was some jealousy there and trying to sort of feeling insecure and trying to one-up one another and wishing I had that gift. And it was some, almost more of a competition in the church. And so Paul is saying, okay, it's not wrong to desire certain spiritual gifts. If your desire is to be able to explain or teach God's word, that's not a bad thing. I mean, elsewhere, Paul tells Timothy that if a person aspires to the office of elder, he aspires to a good thing. If you're a young man and you're hoping that one day God will call you and equip you to be an elder, to teach and shepherd and counsel God's people, that's a good thing. Or if you have a heart for children and you think, Lord, help me learn to better teach kids, that's a good thing. Or if you have a real burden for your neighbors, for the lost, but you just really want to be more effective in sharing the gospel. Lord, I get so tongue-tied. Please help me. Give me those gifts and help me develop the gifts to tell people about Jesus. Paul says, that's a good thing. You should desire that. earnestly, you know, plead with God, earnestly seek those gifts of telling people, encouraging people, and helping people. And absolutely, he said, there's nothing wrong with seeking and wanting and desiring gifts to better tell people about Jesus. But he says, I'll show you something better. I'll show you a still more excellent way. In other words, he says, yes, okay, within the church, some gifts have priority. But love is more important than them all. Okay, look with me at chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men. There's the word tongues there. It means languages. He's talking about this supernatural gift where some people at that time could open up their mouth and suddenly out would come a language that they'd never learned or studied before. I mean, it happened at Pentecost. Remember, there were people came to Jerusalem from all over the world. Jesus poured out his spirit on the disciples, and suddenly they could preach in all kinds of different languages so everybody could hear the gospel in their own language. You know, imagine if someone just walked in from, I don't know, Lithuania, and you could open up your mouth, and all of a sudden the gospel would come out in their language, and they could hear it and understand it. It was a wonderful gift. Or suppose you're in the marketplace. It's a crowded marketplace. People are bartering and arguing, and you see one person who's obviously from another country, and he's flustered. He doesn't understand. He can't communicate. He doesn't know the language. Imagine if you could open your mouth, and all of a sudden you could speak in his language. All of a sudden he could hear you in the exact dialect his mom and dad used to speak in. All of a sudden his ears perk up. And all of a sudden, you're able to step in and explain what's going on. You're able to come alongside of them and befriend them and help them and show them the love of Christ and tell them about Jesus. That would be an amazing gift. Paul says, suppose I have that gift. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Now, perhaps Paul is exaggerating here. Maybe this is hyperbole, or maybe this is something he's actually experienced. Maybe Paul could literally talk to angels. Or maybe he could literally speak in some sort of supernatural angelic language. We don't know, but he's saying, suppose I have this supernatural gift where I can open my mouth and all of a sudden words come out in some other language that I don't know, either a language from another country or some angelic language, a language angels use. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong. In other words, let's say I see that guy in the marketplace and he's struggling and I open my mouth and out comes these words in his own language. But if I'm just doing it to show off, or if I'm just doing it because it's neat to open up your mouth and see what's going to come out, if I'm not doing it for the right reasons, if I'm not doing it to help him, Paul says you're just making noise. If you've ever been in a situation where everybody around you is talking a language you don't know, it just sounds like noise. Paul says, even if God gave you that supernatural ability to speak in just that guy's exact language, if you're not doing it to help him, you're just making noise. You're just a clanging noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What he's saying is, without love, you accomplish nothing. He's talking to a group of people who are jealous of one another and their gifts, who are competing with one another for their gifts, who want to experience more spiritual gifts to feel better about themselves and to look better. And Paul's saying, hey, gifts are wonderful, but if you don't have love, you're not going to accomplish anything. All our gifts need to be exercised in love. Okay? Jesus Christ has equipped you with gifts. He has given you different abilities and experiences and talents, and it's not so you can put your talents on the shelf. It's also not so that you can show off, and it's not so you can force your gifts on people. It's so that you can serve people. It's so that you can use your gifts in love. Without love, you accomplish nothing, and without love, you are nothing. Paul says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Okay, now remember, there were some people in the church who were prophets. God would reveal to them something that was going to happen in the future, or God would give them a direct message, or some of them might have supernatural knowledge. That was a different gift. a knowledge, perhaps a deeper knowledge of the Bible or a knowledge of what was going to happen in the future. Paul seems to be rolling all into one. Suppose I had this supernatural knowledge. I have prophetic abilities. I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Okay, faith is trusting in the Lord, trusting in Jesus, trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, trusting that Jesus died for me, for my sin, that he rose again for me, that he's on the throne in heaven for me. Every Christian has faith. By definition, that's what a Christian is. I'm trusting in what Jesus did for me. But here, Paul seems to be talking about an unusual, extraordinary kind of faith. He calls it all faith so as to remove mountains. Even the most mature Christians get discouraged sometimes. You know, certain obstacles come up, and you start to give up. Paul says, what if I had these extraordinary spiritual gifts, like I was like a prophet, I understood all kind of mysteries, I had all kind of supernatural knowledge, and I had extraordinary gift of faith, so that I had an unusual confidence in God, so that even the greatest obstacles in the world didn't deter me. I had such faith that even a mountain in my way wouldn't stand in my way. I could move mountains with my faith. Paul says, even if you had these extraordinary gifts, but have not love, he says, I'm nothing. Here was a congregation where people were jealous and they were feeling insecure and they were comparing each other based on their gifts and what you can do and what I can do and what I wish I could do. And Paul says, spiritual gifts are great, but without love, you're nothing. Without love, you are nothing, and without love, you gain nothing. If I give away all I have, Paul is imagining here, what is the biggest thing you could do? Well, what if I gave everything to the poor? If I gave away all my possessions, and I deliver up my body to be burned. The picture here is being burned at the stake, the idea of being persecuted. If I gave everything I had to the poor, and if I took such a stand for the Lord that I stood for God even though it cost me my life, this one great dramatic good deed, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. See, the congregation was all caught up in what you can do and what he can do and what I can't do but I wish I could do, or what I can do and you can't do. And Paul says, look, you could do the greatest, most amazing religious deeds in the world, but if you don't do it for the right reasons, if you're not doing it out of love for the Lord and love for one another, you don't gain anything. Without love, you accomplish nothing, you are nothing, and you gain nothing. Now, we saw this morning in the call to worship, God, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together in Christ. God is love, and because of his great love, while we were yet dead in our sin, he's made us alive together in Jesus. John says, this is love. Not that we love God. I mean, it's good that we love God. That is good. But he says, but God shows us what real love is. Of course we love God. We should love God. He's the source of every good and perfect gift. But Paul says, John says, God shows us what real love is. Real love is not just that we love him, it's that he loves us. Because you and I haven't always been so lovable. You and I haven't always been loving. We haven't always used our gifts, and we haven't always used it for the right reasons, and we haven't always been the loving thing. The fact is, we've been insecure. And we've been jealous, and we've compared ourselves with each other, and we've tried to show off. And I mean, we've all known people who are very gifted and very talented, and they use their talents and abilities for their ego. Or they use their talents and abilities to avoid work. Or they use their talents and abilities to manipulate other people. I mean, we're not so lovable sometimes. John says, well, this is love, that even though we are often not very loving, yet God still loves us and gave himself for us. This is love, that Jesus gave himself on the cross for us as an act of love, knowing the kind of people we are. In fact, that's why he died, because of the kind of people we are, and our sin needed to be paid for. This is love, that he gave himself on the cross for us. and he rose again for us. And now he pours out his Spirit on you. And remember, we've seen over the last few weeks, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, joy, peace, patience. But love, God's Spirit produces love in you. And God's Spirit gives you the gifts you have. God's Spirit gives you the talents and abilities you have. And God's Spirit enables you to use those talents and abilities in love. Jesus pours out his Spirit on you and gives you gifts so that you can use them in love. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we don't really understand how much you love us. Even though we hear the words, we just don't always feel loved. Sometimes it seems too good to be true. Sometimes we take it for granted because we don't understand what an amazing thing it is that you love us. Sometimes we fool ourselves and we think that we deserve your love and lose sight of the wonder and the miracle of your love. Or we don't remember, or we don't understand the depths of your love, the depths to which you've gone in your love, that you bled and died for us on the cross. So great is your love. Lord, help us to understand what real love is. Help us to understand what it means to love. Help us to see around us those opportunities where you are calling us to set aside our ego, to set aside our agenda, to stop comparing ourselves with one another. Help us to see those places where you want us to use our gifts in love. Help us, Lord, to see those opportunities to help, to serve at work, in our homes, in the congregation, in our communities. Lord, help us to live in love, and help us to know your love and know that we are loved. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.